Hey there, all you cats and kittens. It's your girl Q. Welcome back to another episode of About a Gay Girl. Thank you so much for listening in. I really appreciate it. Hey, you listen to this, I fuck with you. I fuck with you the longest of ways. Like, through the valleys, the shadow of death, I take a look in your eyes. I'm just kidding. No, for real. Through it all, y'all the best. And if you listen to my last episode with my mom on it, I really appreciate you. I did get some feedback from some folks and just some reviews in general. I really do appreciate y'all listening and getting to know my mom a bit and our relationship and how it is. And yeah, you know how that is. But yeah, we're on a new episode today. And it's my sister. So I'm making the month of May about my folks, like the two closest family members I have. Did I say that right? Family members I have, which is my mom and my sis. They both are in Indianapolis, but still my closest family members. And I was just like, who do I want on the episodes? I was trying to brainstorm. I was like, why not my people? It was Mother's Day this month, and it was also my sister's birthday this month too. So I was like, let me spotlight them. Like, let me see what the folks got to say. And so that's what we're in for today. Me and my sister, we're goofy. We're just gonna have fun. And everything, and I just can't wait to talk to her about whatever really comes to mind, because we just be talking. And yeah, that's my homie. But yeah, so again, thank you so much for listening, and you're in for a treat. I always say treat like my fucking dog. Y'all not dogs. Y'all in for a good ass experience. And hold on tight, here we go. Thank you so much for listening to that annoying ad, but hey, it's there for a reason. One day, hopefully, I'll get paid off of this thing. You know what I'm saying? Well, we're back, and we're with my wonderful sister, Fatima. Oops. How do you like your name pronounced?
Fatima.
See, that's a thing on its own, right? You know what I'm saying? Like, I grew up calling you Fatima. My sister's name is spelled F-A-T-I-M-A. So, basic black folks back in the day, we were like, Fatima. And she just let motherfuckers call her Fatima. Or, you know, then you had your nickname Fatty, but you weren't fat. Ever. Like, ever. So, and then it was like the whole Fatima thing.
No, it's, the Fatima.
Yeah, Fatima.
Yeah, everyone calls me that.
Yeah, Fatima. Which I think, you know, with both of our names being Arabic or African, you know, I guess, like, that has its own... What?
Is it
Arabic?
It's Arabic.
Oh, okay, yeah, Arabic. So, Fatima, on the show today, hey, sis, this is, like, you know, the month of May is, like, dedicated to my family. We had Mommy's episode already for Mother's Day. And I'm so excited to have you on here for your B-Day, which is, what, May 19th?
Yeah.
Taurus season. I wasn't asking questions. I was just like, my bad. I know your birthday. It's Taurus season, your birthday. What age are you going to be?
Is that a question?
There is a question. I don't know.
Okay, 35. I'm joking.
35. You're going to be, because I know you're 3 years older than me, so I'm like, if I'm 31 right now, and I'll be 32 this year. I know that I have to do the math, but I want to hear you say, how are you excited to be 30, 35, going to be 35?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Does that sound exciting? I mean, it's just, it's a turning point, like a big change, because I'm headed towards my 40s now.
Damn. That's good. 40s.
Like Kevin Hart. Damn.
Damn. Right. Damn. You know, because I ain't too far behind you, so I'm like 40s. But, you know, we're aging so gracefully. I'm about to just jump out. Hey, y'all, so this podcast, me and my sis about to be cutting up. I have some questions for my sis. I got some questions for my sis, but we definitely will be cutting up. You got four kids and a husband that be stressing you, but we are aging so gracefully.
I have five kids, yes.
You got five kids. You holding it down. Holding it down.
Right.
Okay, so, you know, to go ahead and introduce you further, you know, your name, go ahead, take the floor. What's your name, age, pronouns, your location, where you at.
I'm
obviously gonna listen to my podcast. Let's get up. We can cuss on this motherfucker. I sound like I've been watching Mike Epps because I'm like, I miss Indiana. So I watch this Mike Epps Indianapolis stand-up special. He be in that motherfucker. You know how Mike Epps. I'm like, damn, am I Mike Epps? Or is that nigga?
Yes.
I am. He's so fucking funny. I'm like, that nigga could have been my daddy. I know he could have motherfucking been.
Oh
baby.
My God, don't tell Marvin that.
Crying. Alright, your name, your age, your pronouns, location, occupation, and an interesting fact about you.
Hey, okay, the last two are scary. My name is Fatima. Mm-hmm. Our pronouns is she, her, goddess of the land.
Boing.
Universe. I'm located in Plainfield.
Nobody know what fuck that is. Indiana.
And then,
occupation.
Currently is a ruler of her house. And then, an interesting fact. Gosh, what's interesting about me?
You have owned a boutique. Oh, go ahead. You have four kids, four daughters. I think the interesting fact about you guys is that so your husband's name is John. That, you know, the gene for the kiddos is determined by the dad, and he could not pump out a boy. So you have all girls, and their names start with J's, and their middle names start with R. So they're all juniors for John. Yeah. I don't know. That's one of my favorite facts about y'all. I think that's so cute.
I probably have so many that I can't come up with one. I think that's my dilemma right now.
Oh, that's cute. I like a little easy gateway yeah. out. There's just so many that
I'm super lazy.
Right. I'll be going on dates. I'll be like, so tell me about yourself. There's just so much. Tell me about it. I'm like, yeah, shut the fuck up. Bye, bitch. You old boring bat. Flap away. No. I'm kidding. Nah, but that's really cool. Like, I like that about y'all. You started a garden recently, right? How's that going?
It's going so great. I love those little plant baby thingies out there. I look at them all the time. I'm just like, I can't wait to start seeing actual fruit.
Yeah.
What fruit you got? I have peppers, green peppers, red peppers, jalapeno peppers. I have tomatoes. I have cucumbers. I think, yes, carrots. I don't know why that's so random to have carrots. But we have bunnies out there, and they actually are like digging them up.
Of course.
I have watermelon.
Damn.
I don't know. I'm going to have to repot that, but... They're trying.
That's what's up. Now you got most of your older children taking care of themselves. Now you still want to be Mother Goose and take care of some veggies and plant or fruit.
Because every day I'm thinking about getting a chicken coop.
Yes, please do.
At this place, when you go to buy them, you have to buy more than one. I just wanted one this time because they're under $1 to buy them as chicks.
Oh, okay.
And so I was like, oh my God, I'm just gonna take this chick and like just have it in the house.
The house?
And just let it be a chicken. Mm-hmm. But you can't do that.
Oh.
You gotta help it.
Have an established pen and stuff. Or chicken pen. Chicken coop.
Yeah, you gotta put it under a heater.
Oh.
Like when it grows up and it finally is a chicken nugget, you gotta put it under a heater to help it.
Grow, incubate.
Then you put it in a coop. Uh-huh. If you're gonna keep it, you know.
Okay. I think the word is incubate.
Yes, I knew that. I was gonna say incubator, but it's really a heating lamp.
Yeah, heating lamp. That's you're right.
Thank you. And I mean, don't get up too high. You're gonna have a little nugget, scrambled eggs
in that bitch.
A little cheese. Oh my god. Parsley.
I remember one time I ordered scrambled eggs. I said, can I have scrambled eggs with chives? Now, I don't know. I was like, I said chives like that. And he brought scrambled eggs with cheese. He's like, oh, I thought you said cheese. And I was like, oh my God, I gotta stop being such a goofy ass nigga. But yeah, that's cool. I hope that works out for you because you out here living. You got your beautiful new home, renovating that hoe, and your family is living life. I'm so happy for y'all. You've been married for about 15 years. I just learned yesterday when you told me.
Yeah.
How is the married life? So you got married what time? Around about 18, 19, 20, 20, 21.
I've been married my entire adult life. So I walked down the aisle technically when I was 19. I was a baby. And I turned 20 that year. But 15 years of marriage. Yeah, it's different. Like, it has its highs and it has its lows. But I mean, the key is to not complicate it. The reason, like, people are always looking for a key to success type.
Like this is how marriage works, and it's like this, these solid, strict things.
Yeah, they're like, fold your towels this way, and make sure you get on chocolate on the full moon. Like, it's like, no, you don't have to. It's like, you stay, you're married because you want to be married. Uh-huh. That is the key. Uh-huh. If you want to do it, it's gonna happen. If you don't want to do it, then don't freaking do it. Just do something else.
So, you were pregnant. Johnny, obviously, y'all were both, well, I don't know if Johnny was a teenager, but you was a teenager. You got pregnant early on, and Johnny was like, I'm gonna make you into a, what's that saying? Like, I'm gonna make you to a real woman and marry you, or something like that. A true woman?
He didn't say a real woman.
I know, I'm just saying, he didn't say that, but the saying is.
I'm gonna do right by you.
Yeah. So, Johnny, you know, married you with Jenna on the way, your oldest daughter, and my oldest niece, and, what was I about to say about this? I don't fucking know. But basically, what was your thoughts like getting married early like that? Like, you were like, because,
You know, we grew up, we did not see things like that.
No.
So, it was scary. I felt a lot of pressure to do well. Mm-hmm. Already being a mother, that was scary. Everything was scary. But you feel like especially if you're not raised to see things like that, or you weren't around things like that.
You're not
you just
accustomed.
Feel like you've been thrown to the wolves.
Yeah.
Like, you just gotta survive, you know? Uh-huh. And just figure it out. So, it just felt like, I felt like a new thing out of its package.
Oh, wow.
Type of thing. Like, I don't know how to explain it, but these are really bad analogies.
I know, I like it. I'm like, it's so creative. I'm like, yeah, a new thing out of its package. I've never heard that one. I like that.
But, you know, you just feel kind of just new. And that's the beginnings of all that. I just felt new to a lot of things. So.
Heard. Yeah, I can never imagine, especially like me, that early on. I was just trying to play basketball, trying to figure out my sexuality, run track, be a choir and shit. And I remember, because you got pregnant early, and you and I
don't want to stop you, but tell them how we dodged it,
though. Oh my God, so yeah.
Still hiding it from mommy.
Oh my God, so you got pregnant early, and I was my freshman year of high school, obviously awkward and confused, but also like, you know, here. And since you're 3 years older, you was a senior. And this is the first time I had been in school with you since probably elementary school, I guess. And I was so geeked. I was like, yeah, my sister's in the drama club. Yeah, she's a senior. You know her? Yeah. She's cool. So I was like, yeah, she on the other side. We went to Warren Central High School. So Warren Central was such a big ass school. It was like a campus, like a college university ass campus, like a little brother of a college. But she was on the regular school, and I was on the freshman side that they had just built. The freshman, yeah, it was just big as fuck. But anytime I would like see, I would go to have a class in like the regular school, I would be like, you know my sister, yeah, Boston Andrews. And they would be like, yeah, she's in debate. What club were you in?
I was in theater.
Oh, theater.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that was your shit. That was your shit. That's all I remember. That was shit. And I was like, yeah.
Theater is very enriching.
Yeah. So, yeah. So.
And recommend.
You would recommend. I feel you was good. You was good with it. But yeah, so I was so excited her to be in her high school with me. I was like, I was ready to tell everybody about it. And then this nigga get pregnant. Ah! And I was like, oh my God. I'm about to be an auntie. And I was so happy though. I was like, but I don't even think I met Johnny. He was Johnny back in the day. I met Johnny at the time, but you know, whatever. So you're pregnant. We know it. You and I know it. And so Jenna was born in December, so I meant you were pregnant all throughout the summer. And so we were hiding it because we love our mother, but
they don't know Monica Dede.
Monica Dede, yeah. Y'all listen.
They know the food of me, but they don't know Monica Dede. The food
of me. Yeah. Yeah. My mom has very much grown and evolved, and it has grown into loving herself and us in a very, you know, it was a time. It was beautiful.
Yes.
Beautiful storm. I don't know. Yeah.
Yes.
so we were both scared, but you my nigga for life, because you know, you've been my sister for a long bit. And so, you know, we had to do, which was hide the pregnancy at that time. Because obviously a teenage mom, like, and mommy had us at 14 and 17. So I guess, I mean, you did break that like pattern generational thingy, but I'm having Jenna at what, 19 or 20?
No, I had Jenna at 18.
Okay, I don't know shit about shit.
I just realized that the other day. I was like, oh crap.
Oh, okay.
I was your age. I had you.
I was. Like, oh shit. Crazy. Yeah. So, what happened? So you were getting you had gone to a
some kid who's the kid of somebody mommy worked with told mommy that I was pregnant. Because he got around school, remember? By the way, whoever's listening to this podcast, if you know who ran that rumor.
Who ran that rumor? We gonna find you, nigga. Run up on you. You don't know what you did. Yeah. Mind your business.
Nah. So mommy was curious because it got large.
Yeah.
The rumor. I mean, it was at her work. People were telling her that they're like, you know, your daughter's pregnant or something. So she went and got some tests.
Oh, but before the test, uh-huh. I thought she had the little pregnancy books had come to the apartment.
No, that's how she found out.
Oh, her. Okay. So she had gotten the test.
We're not going to tell us,
okay. Okay. So she had gotten the test, and she had brought him home. So that meant, you know, it was time to pee on the stick.
Yes. And she was doing her hair.
I don't remember. You gotta tell us. Yeah. I don't remember shit. All I remember is what I did.
Okay. She was like, you're gonna take this test and all this other stuff. And I was like, well, I don't have to pee. And you took a break in between your hair or something. I don't know. But I was like,
shit. And you was pacing, girl. I remember you was pacing. You was like, you know, you was.
Because I had to pee. I was thinking, my brain was like, woo! How are we gonna escape death?
No.
And so, I was like, can I jump out the window?
Oh my God.
That'd be obvious.
We was on the first floor though, so it would be alright.
So, I was like, Kanaya, there was apple juice. We had apple juice. Uh-huh. So, I remember taking that big old glass of apple juice to the room. Mm-hmm. Poured it out like on the floor or something, or I don't know what I did, but was like, you know, I had, can you pee in this for me so I don't die? And you were already, like, down for it. And you were like, yes, I already know, I get it.
Yeah, the way, I just remember the way you were looking at me, because you came in, I think you came in my room, and you looked at me, or some one of the rooms, and I was like, yeah. And I already have history about peeing in bottles. We're not going to talk about that.
Have you told people about that?
I just did. I just did on accident.
Don't tell anybody about that.
Oh, my God. When I went to college, I learned about Sigmund Freud and how bottles in psychology and women go together. And I was like, And I'd be like, yes, there's a whole thing about bottles. And I'm like, you know, it's not just, it's a whole thing. I'm a Freudian on a low, but we're not going to get into that. But
you're
yeah.
You're going to have to tell me about that.
Okay.
But, you peed in the cup for me. You were a G.
Yes, I went into my clock.
I poured it into a little baggy thing.
Oh, word? Oh,
so
yeah.
So I just like, and
oh,
then,
you can, okay.
And I was like, look, I drank the juice. La-la-la-la. Mm-hmm. And I put it in the sink because you were back to getting your hair
done.
You had, I'm stammering now because I'm trying to remember, but I think you came into my room, you're like, I'm done, it's in the closet or something.
Oh yeah, I was peeing in the closet.
And I was like, cool, you know, and then I poured it in a baggie and then I put it in the sink and then I went in there. Thank God that you weren't pregnant. You were pregnant.
Yeah, by that time, I still was in the closet at that time. Yep. But
Oh, you were a child. I mean, you were little. And
shit, barely.
Barely. You were a pregnant.
I guess I was 14, 13, going on 14, maybe. 13. Yeah, I was 13.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I remember after taking the test, like, and it came up negative, of course.
Booyah,
I was like, I know there's tricks to this. And I was like, your system peeing in a cup,
right?
Because that's the drink.
About to say, because she didn't find out what until what? So when Jenna
until
was when Jenna was what, 12 or 13? So that means
I thought you talking about that I was pregnant with that I had Jenna. I was like, I was pregnant until I was like 7 months.
We didn't tell her. We didn't tell her what we did until like
well
down the road.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was fun.
That was crazy.
But I was like, ride for my nigga, I die for my nigga, ah. That's how I felt. I ain't gonna hold you.
I mean, this is my sister. Oh my God, she saved my life.
Yeah, you was the first person that let me smoke some weed. So
hold on.
No, I lied, but I think the first time you let me smoke, you was like, don't do too much. Now by that time, I had already like been smoked out like a lot by this one white girl that lived in Cherry Lake. Was it Cherry Lake?
Cherry Lake?
Remember Stony Brook Commons?
Hey, never lived in a Cherry Lake.
No, we lived in Stony Brook Commons, but the houses next to us was Cherry, remember the neighborhood, the big ass neighborhood next to us with the houses? We lived,
yes.
But it wasn't called Cherry Lake. What was it called? We lived in Stony Brook Commons. That was the last place I lived with you, nigga. My mean sister.
Yeah, Stony Brook.
Stony Brook. But I'm talking about the neighborhood with all the houses to the left of us was Cherry. It was Cherry Lake or something.
Oh, it was. It was like Cherry Tree or something.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. But yeah. So yeah, I it was not never a question of me helping you when we needed to go down. And I feel like, you know, at some point, you know, we weren't ever like rival sisters or stuff, but I mean, obviously like a natural competition happens, but we definitely, as we got older, we were like, all right, you my nigga. Mommy's our nigga, but she, you know, she a different, you know what I'm saying? Like, we niggas for each other, my nigga, you know? And then I was like, that really solidified our, I think it helped really solidify our, you know, me coming into my maturity, because I've always been like the 3 years younger than you and like less mature and more like flimsy and out there. You've always been like this hyper ass nigga, like, you know what I'm saying? So, so I think that helped a lot because we're so different.
You're always just my little sis, you know, like, my little baby, I had to look over and make sure you were good before I could go do whatever I wanted to do.
Yeah, you definitely was a big caretaker for me, but I will fight for you, you know what I mean? Like,
I'll cut somebody off if y'all can't fight.
Yeah, so, we'll take a little break right here and we'll come right back to it. Cool. All right. Thanks so much for listening. I hope you're enjoying it. Me and my sister be goofy. We be goofy. We be goofy all the time. It's fun. But yeah, so, you've been married. You have 4 kids. Your husband is white. He's white. He's a white man. And you being in Indiana, you know, I think all the guys, you know, I don't know if my podcast followers know, I dated boys back in the day. I dated white guys. I dated white boys back in the day. Honestly,
Snow King.
Say what?
Snow King.
Snow. Oh, I don't know. Okay, you can have it. Yeah. I was like, I don't know about, yeah, never mind. So, white boys back in the day, and then Johnny, you know, yeah. Amazing dad and everything, so y'all have kids. So how was it being in an interracial marriage, relationship, and, like, any difficulties with that? Not difficulties, but, like, challenges or anything like that?
Sources. Mm-hmm. Because when you're together, you don't think about one being white and one being black or whatever. Mm-hmm. It's just kind of how other people view you and treat you. So, like, little things will bother me over the years. Like, if we were checking out in a line, people, like, this one cashier put the little divider thing.
Uh-huh.
In between us, I was like, you know, like, another one told me to wait my turn because I had reached over and, like, threw something, you know, when you're aisle shopping, like, right there. And then, damn. Like, it's little things, you know, we'll have the girls with us and they'll ask if we want to split the bill. Like, clearly, no, we don't want to, you know, but...
I'm his nanny. Yeah, I'm the nanny. I just came out for lunch with him. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Right. It's little things you have to kind of look past. Because we have been together, well, in total, 17 years. Okay. So, I don't want to say you get used to it because it still pisses you off every time it happens. But, like, you just don't react. And then there's little things like family stuff. You know, if you have family that is closed-minded or, you know, just not cultured, mm-hmm. or live in a little bubble of stupidity-ness, mm-hmm. those things can really, really make or break you. Mm-hmm. But you have to have a partner who's willing to support you.
Mm-hmm. That's great.
If you tell them, hey, I don't like what, you know, your grandmama said, or whoever, your sister, whatever, and then they go, oh, just brush it off, it's nothing, that's gonna break you. But if they're like, you know what, I'm gonna address it, I'm gonna tell them, that they don't need to say these things, or they'll educate them, or something.
Mm-hmm.
As long as they do something, right? It can determine your entire relationship.
Hell yeah. That definitely, you know, step up to it. Continue to be a protector of, you know, your kingdom, your familydom, and, you know, considerate of the other person's whatever. Hell, I remember Johnny, his first Thanksgiving with Mommy? Was it first Thanksgiving or Christmas? She made Thanksgiving dinner, and that motherfucker he ate some of the food, and then threw some of the food away, or most of it away. He don't know. He didn't know. He didn't know. You don't. I'm sorry. No.
Because on his side, they don't.
Hold on real quick. sorry about that. But you know, see, you said Johnny didn't know about like not throwing food away, right?
Yeah, because at his get-togethers, they don't take plates home. You know, not because the food's so good and it's all eaten up, but because the opposite. You know, like they just toss their stuff and they just.
Crazy.
No.
Wasting shit like that. And like that damn near like damn near $10 plate now though, the motherfucker. You know what I'm saying? You can't even throw shit away now.
Aluminum
foil. Tupperware. I brought my own Tupperware shit. You ain't gotta worry about me coming back. I brought my own shit. You know what I mean? Got my own styrofoam little plate, you know what I mean? The one that got the cover on it. Shit.
Walmart grocery bag.
Hell yeah. You know, people be tying up at the top, real got everything in the secure. Ain't gonna spill on nothing. You know what I mean? Right, yeah, the sweet potato juice ain't gonna get off, you know, open your back up all sticky and shit. You know, we taking that shit home. Please and thank you. Hell, mommy be like, please take this food, because shit, all that food in her place.
Yeah, mommy likes to ration everything out, though.
I think she rations first, and then whatever's left over, she'll be like, all right.
Yeah.
Just in case, you know what I mean?
Like, can I have some? And she'll be like,
it's the side for me. I came from you. Damn. Yeah, so.
Like, can I have some more macaroni, please?
So, you two being interracial, married or relationship, you have biracial children, like, literally black and white. Dun 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 dun, yeah. It's black, it's white. Ooh! Yeah. any challenges they faced, you know, living in a white, because Indianapolis is pretty white itself. Any challenges they faced?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I was like, what the challenges they faced?
You know what? Most of their problems come from, believe it or not, black folks.
A herd? Okay, what's up?
So, you know, it's kind of the pick the size. But you know where it comes from? Once they find out their type of mix, that their dad is white and their mom is black. Because it's not the normal pairing. I mean, this pairing has happened for eons, but like, it's not the typical one.
Okay, for society
in the Midwest, you know what I'm saying? Versus the black guy, white woman.
Okay, yeah, because we always see the white woman with the haircut,
that bobby thing.
The what? Oh, the bob. That, yeah. It's like, let me speak to the. Let me speak to the manager. One.
Right. Mm-hmm. So when they find out that their mom is black, then it's like it's just this whole different thing.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, they feel like they're faced with, oh, you should pick a side, but they've been raised to know that they're biracial, not black or white, but both.
Uh-huh.
One, but. You know, they're on their own thing.
Because I know, even growing up, I remember seeing someone who was, like, mixed biracial, and black people were, like, really, really big on saying, no, you black. As soon as you have one drop of black blood, you all the way black. And if that's the case, if your narrative is more so, like, no, I want to represent both sides, and that should be totally fucking fine at the end of the day. Because I don't, you know, that's just whatever.
Right. But I know what the one drop rule is, and I don't want the girls to ever feel like they should abide by that, because it's a white supremacy rule. They feel like black blood dirties white blood.
Oh.
It has nothing to do with our genes being stronger or anything like that. It has to do with them feeling like if you are with a black person, it dirties the race.
Mm.
And so I never, ever wanted the girls to ever think the one drop rule has anything to do with them, because I didn't dirty nobody's race. You know? Yeah. So, yeah.
Definitely. I've never heard it that way. And I actually am happy we had a conversation, because you ain't about to bring my race down saying that we brought yours down because of who I... Nah, nigga. We got the rich blood in this bitch, my nigga.
The nasty, nasty, nasty thing. It's horrible. That, and it's crazy that white people still, go by it. It's so bad.
Okay. That's because I don't think that people have heard it the way you said it, which makes it, makes it make sense, you know? Because the way I heard it was, we are the dominant genetic race, per se, so that when our blood touches another type of blood, we carry the dominant genes. Because at the end of the day, it's called the X gene or something like that, where the mother genome starts in Africa. If there was a pool of genes that made the first human, it came in from Africa or something like that, right? So,
oh, you're talking about that E gene?
E element of PG? I don't fucking know. Yeah, something like that, yeah.
EV.
Oh, yeah, something.
Sorry, girl, sorry.
Nah, 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 nah.
But yeah, the EG, I've heard about that, but I know the one drop rule was created so that white folks didn't have to claim their mixed children.
Oh, shit. Oh, my brain's gonna burst. I'm about to say, is it Jim Crow? Like, no, this shit, these niggas is trying to...
No, Johnny don't claim these kids.
What's that, Cat Williams? He said, who baby is that? That's a white baby. Cat Williams about to go claim the white baby.
You know, from the mountains of Caucasus.
Yeah. Oh, shoot. Okay. Hey, I know you just taught some folks that are listening, because maybe taught some folks. You never know. Knowledge is power. Knowledge is power.
Definitely.
For sure. But thanks for sharing that, for sure. So, speaking of children, let's go back to when I was a children. You know, because this is about a gay girl, so I gotta sprinkle in some gay in there.
Okay.
So, when I was a kiddo, you know, you've been my sister for most of my life, you've been my sister. So,
about 5 years.
Give or take. when did you... sense or know that I, because you might have known before I knew, right, that I was gay?
Yeah, definitely. You were a kiddo. We had a little bit of this discussion, but I don't know if we talked about this to your listeners, but growing up, Lokonaya was a little bit bullied.
Oh, where's that?
Do you remember?
Is it at church? Not your Churchill Ranch, but when we went to IPS 103.
Yeah.
Oh, what the fuck was that about, little bitches? I remember a little bit. Damn. Okay, yeah. Tell me more.
But it was because you liked stereotypical boy stuff.
Oh, okay.
And a lot of the people were the other kids. Like to call you names because of it. And I can't remember, I was a kid myself, but I just felt like you couldn't be yourself.
I do remember Churchill Ranch, right?
Yeah.
So Churchill Ranch, we had to stay on that bus stop that was like right next to a big sewer opening or something like that. I'd always look down and be like, I'm gonna trip into that, but no, it was just so, it was so far deep. I'm like, why they got us kids sitting on this corner? The 90s, whatever. Yeah, I do remember there was one time, there was a fight that, I don't know if I got into it, or you took care of it for me, or no, you were about to get in a fight, and I don't remember. Do you remember a fight that happened near that bus stop?
I don't know, because we got into a lot of fights with those kids at school, because they were bullies. It seemed like every school we went to, there was just...
We were different. We were different, and they didn't like that different, because that different came with attention that they wanted, or that, you know, just opportunities to bully kids. And it's ridiculous how, you know, even with your kids, they're very smart, eclectic in their own way, and some kids are just nah, you gotta follow the code, the standard. Like, nah, nigga, we good over here. We doing this. Like, right. We separating ourselves from that because we are greater than the base, the standard, the minimum, you know? And so it's just crazy though, because like it helped, you know, it helped not help shape, but it did affect the shape of things growing up and stuff. And I think that it helped me, it made me go into a normalcy, whatever, because the first girl I liked was in preschool in Vincennes University, and I think I even got in trouble there, liking that little white girl that we both like Pocahontas a lot. I don't know if you remember, but I went over to
your, I don't want to say girlfriends, or I don't like saying female.
Please don't. But,
like, all your gal friends, you took to them very much.
Yeah, I was telling somebody last night. She's like, when did you know you was gay? I was like, preschool, six years old. Even though I was liking mommy's boyfriend's son, I was liking the girl at preschool because every best friend I had, I loved them. And she was like, well, when did, like, most of us, you know, we played house and stuff and whatever. Like, I think as kids, it's like a pretty flat line. Like, everything is everything. We like it all. But then at one point, it switches over to, like, maybe it switches over to, okay, I like boys more or something like that. But, like, preschool, the Pocahontas girl, I really liked. And then it switched over, I think, second grade. It was, we're IPS 103, so I think I was in second grade. Yeah, because we did 2 years there, I think, right? I did first and second grade. So I liked this girl. I don't know why I can't forget her name. Simone. Her name was Simone. Well, light skin, but she was also like a best friend of mine. Oh, by the way, the white girl, I stole a harmonica. I remember stealing her harmonica from her house. I used to steal a lot when I was a kid. I think the last time I stole was when because Abby used to tell me to go get cigarettes from upstairs, and I would go get cigarettes and bring them downstairs, and he would check my pockets to make sure I didn't steal no cigarettes. Like, it was
that's
a joke.
Right.
Yeah.
You know what? You reminded me, like, Jenna growing up reminded me so much of you, because Jenna was a klepto.
Oh. She was so innocent.
I had to check her pocket. Yeah, it says that she still was.
I hope she stops.
I was like, you become an adult.
Yeah. If somebody steal from you or something. What made me stop stealing was when I got caught. And I was like, ooh, that felt terrible. Abby, they came down looking for the cigarettes in my pockets. My ass forgot I done stole a Snickers from the checkout line. Actually, that didn't make me stop, because Nana was still alive. We were in the house. So he found that. No, it did make me stop. He found that, and I was like, whew, never again. I think I got in trouble, or I don't know if they made me go back. I think they did make me go back. I don't know. I think I went back and just, like, set it on the counter type shit, but it happened again.
You didn't get in trouble, because Nana and Abby didn't spank us or anything.
Okay. So it didn't get in trouble. I did get in trouble years later. I would say probably 10 years later. Well, when we went to, what's it called? California. So this is, like, 2001. Or 2002 or something like that, or 2000, and we were visiting. This is like around attacks happened.
Yeah.
So we went into Cali in Oakland, California, and Shakira was like, our aunt Shakira said, go get, you know, some, not Jiffy, what's the other, like, just she wanted, what's it called, what is Jiffy? Jiffy's a
cornbread.
She wanted to make some cornbread. So me, knowing fuck cornbread, Jiffy, my nigga, like, here. But they're Muslim. You know what I'm saying? So she gave me an amount of money. So I paid for that. And this motherfucking corner store looked like something out of Boys in the Hood. So
it was right there. I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, it looked like Boys in the Hood. I went down. This is still, I guess, it's off the heels of the 90s. So we still can just walk down whatever. But California and Oakland, and you're 10 or 11 years old, that shit's scary. So when I bring it back, she's like, I can't use this. It's got pork in it. So I keep on saying Jiffy Lube. Jiffy has pork in it for whatever reason. It's probably some type of, you know, whatever. And so I was like, come on, bro. Just one time, you know what I mean? Like, she's Muslim. I ain't about to eat it, you know? So she's like, take that back and get the other one. And I'm over here like, I don't even want to talk to the damn cashier person. So my brain, I don't know. I think I set it down and grabbed the other one or something. I was so scared. But that was like the last time I stole I didn't. It's technically not stealing if I exchanged it, but you know, it was scary. But okay, back to the thing. Yeah, so I liked Simone a lot. That was second grade, and I was like, this is significant. Like, boys are cool. I wanted to play with the boys, but so that was second grade. I remember fourth grade. I was into wrestling a lot, and I remember motherfuckers, we would wrestle, and this one boy, I was dating a football player, I remember him, but because I came to the school, and I was popular because of the way I looked, period, and I dated the popular boy, and I had a guy best friend, Eric. I remember Eric Law, but I would wrestle my neighbors in the copper tree, and I remember this one time, we would wrestle all the time, it was fun, we were wrestling, nigga. And like, I remember because we were third grade, so we were all still sort of the same body type. They hadn't gotten super strong yet, but the hormones were there. So eventually, my neighbor, I remember he was like an actual, like, adjacent neighbor of us. He would start grabbing my booty. And I was like, yes, we would wrestle, but he was grappling me, or I don't know if that's a word. And I was like, this is uncomfortable. Like, no, boy. And so, I stopped wrestling them. It was not fun. But then I just played with Eric. We would go out, ride bikes. We would ride them bikes all the way to the Indy 500 or the Speedway 500.
Yeah, I remember that little boy.
Yeah, we would do everything. I think he grew into his face features. But now, so like that stuff, I think we're Facebook friends, so I don't know.
Okay.
Technically, no. I just remember everyone's like first and last names for some reason from elementary school. Shelby Spinelli, which is weird as fuck. Why do I remember her first and last names? So yeah, but anywhoosies. So around that time, I'm definitely coming into my tomboyhood. And I don't know if you remember, in fifth grade, I was like, I want to be a boy. Like, I was so scared to start my period because you started yours. And I was like, that's unnecessary for any human to have. So like, let me go ahead and I just want a dick. Can I get a dick? Dick on aisle 5.
It's very much unnecessary.
Right. But yeah, so out of all that, when did you... No. I guess we can go back to that. I've rambled, sorry. Tangent.
I think was when I was in high school. Do you remember the school calling mommy and telling them that you were holding hands with some girl? I don't know.
So I was...
It was like,
yeah. Go ahead.
But it wasn't your first offense. I can't believe. Can you believe that you will call?
So I know, not you outing your kid. Yeah, like
small with own hands.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember. I don't know. I just felt so bad. Like, I wanted to protect you. I wanted to fight these people because they were making your life miserable.
Yeah. That was the most depressed I've ever been.
Yeah, it was really bad.
Yeah.
And but that was it was always there in the air, but you were a child, so you can't determine things when you're a little kid, like for people on the outside, right?
Yeah.
So that there though, it was oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
My sister likes the gals. Yeah. Whatever, right? Mm-hmm. But it was all the drama that came with it, because we're talking about early 2000s.
Yeah,
so,
and I was only 12.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was so 2000s coming off the heels of the 90s, you're like, okay, we didn't have any type of representation for black masculine or gay women, period. Like, we had L Word, that was cute and fun, and we had what's that one show with the not Everybody Loves Raymond, it was with the white woman and the two men that were gay.
Will and Grace,
and that was kind of it. And then Ellen was kind of doing her thing, and then we were wondering about Whoopi Goldberg, but it just wasn't normal. Like, it wasn't whatever.
Yeah, there was no black female gay icons.
Yeah.
I don't think so. Right. Everybody speculated Queen Latifah and
yeah.
Brat and things like that, but they weren't out yet. Mm-hmm. They just recently, in the past, what, 8 years just came out.
Right.
So.
And it took him a long ass time. Yeah.
At all.
So if it was that hard for them to come out, it came out in the late 2000s or whatever. Imagine someone who was still a kid, and trying to find guidance in that and stuff like that. And being with, even when I was mingling with the girl I liked at the time, it felt so natural. I was like, y'all not happy about my happiness? Like, y'all don't see how happy I am? Like, this shit crazy. Like, it didn't make any sense. And so when they tried to not out us, they basically were like, stop doing that shit. And we were like, why? And then the only reason it stopped for real was because her name was Cody. The guidance counselor was like, we're going to tell your parents if you guys don't stop. And I think Cody was so scared, not mainly because I was a girl, but because I was black. And I think her dad was like one of them trucker trailer park.
Like, oh, yeah. That's another thing.
Yeah.
Right there.
Yeah.
That stigma.
And I remember Cody just, when she said that, we was in a guidance counselor office together. I saw it just like deflate out of her. She was like, I can no longer fight this fight. And I got so sad. And it was at the end of the year. It was when George Bush introduced No Child Left Behind. Everyone who had good grades, we had field day, we had movie days. For like a week, we had fun stuff. And that same week, the other kids that did not do the right or wasn't doing well, they had to go to class. Like, it was so fucking stupid. Like, No Child Left Behind was absolutely, it wasn't bad, but the way they did the first year was so bad. I loved it though. Like, I went to school and did nothing but had fun for a week. I was like, okay. but that one actually led to me like such a depression that I almost like tried to commit suicide once. Like, being in the closet is no joke. Like, you gotta support your kids and love them through their shit. So we're gonna take one break. I'm gonna lead this into a question real quick. Is that cool?
Yeah.
All right. But yeah, I definitely say all that to say to continue to protect your kids, love your kids through things. They're figuring things out in life, so they have to navigate and break down and build up things as they go. Like, even for me, like, when all that stuff was going down at the school, and mind you, I don't know if we mentioned, this is middle school, so I'm like, I think it's my 8th grade year, so I'm about 12 or 13 years old, and that's just like still preteen type stuff. So I used to write in a diary as this went on, and mommy read my diary at one point. I think I remember coming to my room and it was obviously out of place, and I was like, that is wrong. But at the same time, I think I don't know if the same day that they called or days later, when I think she was also trying to figure out stuff too, and she kind of took it the wrong way, because what happened when they called me, she was yelling at me.
Yeah.
And they called and they basically, I don't know what the fuck they said. That a lot of that stuff is so in my subconscious, or like when I push it in my subconscious, that I didn't even know I did it. We naturally just like have to protect ourselves, and one of the ways I protected myself was like to forget about that. And so which led to that very, very, very deep, dark freshman summer after school ended, because like I said, all that stuff happened at the end of the school year, which on top of that, I was like, why do y'all care so much? We are leaving school, like, school's about to be over, and they still made a big deal.
It was the end of school.
Yeah,
it really was.
It was like May, and like I said, it was during that week of, I know, and it was kind of, me and Cody were kind of a little annoying with it, but we were having fun. It was a fun time. Like,
you weren't hurting anybody by holding hands.
It was yeah. We were passing notes and shit. And we had this little, never mind, that was another thing. But, you want to protect your kids, because life, you want to be their safe haven, because the world and life is already so much to, deal with. And speaking of, like, so you have 4 girls, which means, like, the odds of one of them being in the LMNOP community, LGBTQIA plus community is probably heightened, more so. How do I ask this? Like, if you, not if, or what,
Well, you don't have to ask. My oldest, she is part of the community.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, she's I don't press mm-hmm. because I feel like what she's gonna do as an adult behind closed doors is none of my business. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So, but now while she's in my home, you know, she just knows not to, I guess, be disrespectful. And that's just, that goes for if she was hetero or anything, you know?
Yeah.
To not, you know, have people up in the house and all kinds of stuff like that.
Like me.
If you knew her, well, you know her, but, like, if the people listening knew her, they would know that's not her personality whatsoever.
Right.
So...
I can say I was what in high school. I was in what grade is she in now?
She's a sophomore.
Okay, yeah. By my sophomore year, that's when I started getting crazy. Woo-wee! So why chill?
My kids are so mellow.
Yeah.
They're just mellow and pleasant to be around. I really enjoy being around them. My daughter, she came out to me kind of. She was in middle school, and it was just a question. She stopped wanting to wear her uniform. That's middle school she went to. They wore uniforms, and it's either the skirt or the slacks. Mm. And she just wanted to wear the slacks. And I said, I was like, Jenna, why do you want to wear the slacks? And she, I don't know. I just don't like being girly. And the conversation kind of led to asking her, you know, if she had guy friends or girlfriends, you know? And I don't know exactly how, I don't remember. All I remember is talking to her in the car. And you would think I had a self-driving car because when I was just staring at her, like talking to me, because it kind of confirmed something in me that I already knew, because just like you, she was really close to her gal friends,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Mm-hmm.
And when I asked her, I said, do you like girls more than just friends? She said, yes. And I was like, do you know that for, like, sure? Like, do you know the difference? And she said, yes, I know. I love my friend so-and-so. And I was like, that's okay. And she was like, I was scared to tell you because this is, if you go into marriage type stuff, kids can be scared for all kinds of reasons for coming out
right.
to the parents.
Mm-hmm.
It can be, they can trust one parent but not the other, or they trust both. I don't know. Whatever it is. In Jenna's case, is she was scared to tell us because of her father's extremist parents. They're
extremist. You know, okay, so they're very like
religious. They are extremely militantly religious, and so she loves her grandparents, but she knows that if they do something like this, it will break their bond.
Damn.
So. I felt for it, and I felt like I had to up my protection around that, so I didn't tell anybody about that. Well, first of all, it's not something for me to tell, and it's hers, you know, and if somebody was to suspect it, I would probably shoo it away, because it's none of their business, you know,
yeah.
So...
It's
if
not,
she wants to tell folks, she'll tell folks.
Right, it's not for you to tell, it's for her to tell on her own.
Yeah, and at that time, she was a child, she doesn't need to tell anybody about sexuality anyways, because she didn't understand it to its fullest. But now, she'll be 18 next year.
Mm-hmm.
If she wants to tell somebody something, cool. But she, if somebody has a problem with it, she can handle her battle, but if she needs me to step in, I will.
Period. And that's really dope, because, like, even with my coming out story, I didn't have that conversation with, because I was not comfortable with telling mommy because of just how it was growing up, with her, just her being so very typical, like, we black, this kind of generational curse, not generational curse, but generational, like, this is what is it is, and even growing up with, like, the making fun of, like, the gay community, all that stuff, and being intertwined within me making fun of them too, like, you know what I'm saying, because shit was funny, you know, but it was hard to come out, because I was like, I have to live this life in order to be comfortable and feel protected. But when I went to college, I was able to truly become into myself and not feel the weight of societal norms or family norms, or thinking that if I come out, I'm going to be, what's the word, like, what's it called when people get kicked, like, kicked out? Yeah, shunned or kicked out and stuff like that. And so, what I had to do was get secure within myself and, like, my own finances. I was like, if anything happens, I got me, you know, like, the independent thing, like, overcame everything else. So it was cool, like, coming out and still having that support, like, oh, okay. But obviously some family members definitely changed up a little bit, but I'm like, if y'all fucked with us a long way, you already know this. For the most part, everything was cool. So I'm glad for your oldest to have that, seek that support and protection from you, because not everybody has that. And I just hope that, you know, whoever listens to this knows that it's literally okay for your kid to, you know, be in that community and just be themselves. And it's only way to best, you know, with anyone's life, to affect anyone's life, is to support them, love them, respect them, you know, hear them out. Because what is...
Talk to your kids.
Yeah.
Talk to them. They're not dumb. Just remember, when you were their age, you knew more than what you're thinking. Your kid, you know more than what your parents think. Mm-hmm. You know. And the only way to find out what your kids know is to talk to them. You have to have that weird, awkward conversation. You'll be so surprised how brilliant and smart and funny your children are. Your kids literally can just lighten a burden for you. I speak to my girls all the time. They have so much insight that I wasn't aware of. They make me smarter, more aware. Just every day when they go off to school, I can't wait to see them when they come back.
Beautiful.
Because they're cool. Your kids are cool. I mean, if you like yourself, then you'll like your kids, because they're being raised by you. So just talk to them.
I think another thing that happens with a lot of people is they have kids and they want the kids to be a certain way, and they get so rigid in that mindset that they, like, oh, if anything goes outside of that, okay, I'm the parent here, and I have to recalibrate that whatever, that behavior or their thinking, whatever. Sometimes it's like, you know, you need to recalibrate yourself and open up your mindset, because these kids are born in different generations. They're exposed to different things that you weren't. And, like, yeah, keep it down to the fundamentals. Like, teach them, you know, finances. Teach them, like, how to work in situations at work and stuff, or, you know, interpersonal skills and different things like that. But, like, when it comes to their personalities and how they think and everything, listen to them, because you can help guide them in the direction of having successful adulthood and stuff. Because I feel like no one really listened to me when it came to down to, like, what does Kamaya want to do when she grow up? Like, nah, I should have been working
in... questions.
Yeah, I was like, I should have been working in technology. Like, I should have been working with my hands or something of that nature, where, you know, it's some type of sciencey thing where whatever. And also, Kamaya should be making money. Like, I went to school for some shit that wasn't gonna make money. Like, but nobody was like, oh, no, hey, cute, how about this? So, yeah.
Like, support them. Like, and the thing is, even if you don't know how to do something, honestly, your kid can help you through, they just, what they need is a crutch until they can walk on their own.
Okay.
Like, be that that thing they can hold on to, even if you're like, I don't know how to finance because no one taught you or whatever. Yeah. Your kids are taking classes right now. I haven't written a resume in 100 years. And I remember I complained to Quinai about it. And
I'm then
I complained to my girls about it.
Okay.
And Jazzy remembered that I couldn't write one. Well, I can't write one. I'm just overthinking it, you know?
Yeah.
But Jazzy, just the other day, she was like, hey, mommy, do you still need help with your resume? And I was like, yeah. She was like, I just took a class about resumes and I can help you. Boom, we're writing up a resume.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
And didn't they help
you? Your kids can help you.
Yeah, didn't they help you code a website or something like that?
My 10-year-old, but I think at the time she was like 8, she knew how to code. Mm-hmm. I didn't have to tell her. She was sitting there with me and little Jada. I would always do her impression because she has a list. She's like, mommy, you know, you have to do this and do that. And I'm just like, okay. So... I don't know. Just kids are really cool. And now don't lean on for too much.
Right.
Because they are gay. But like, just embrace it if you're a parent. Like,
don't underestimate.
Even if you're not a parent, if you're an auntie, a grandmama, whatever. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Well, I guess you would be a parent if you're a grandma. you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Just get around those kids and just talk to them. They're hilarious. They're great. I'll give kids a good solid 7 out of 10.
That's awesome. It sounds like they keep you grounded and busy.
Yeah, they do.
That's beautiful. Well, we are wrapping up towards the end here. You want to talk about any favorite memories you and I have, or you have of me, or you and I have shared?
I tell these stories to the girls. There's so many. But do you remember when we lived in Vincennes? Mm-hmm. And those baby chicks fell off the nest.
Were they in eggs?
No, they were new chicks, and they had imprinted on us because we were outside playing.
Oh.
And they were following around.
Oh, they did. I don't remember that. That's cool though.
Okay, we had put them in the box, and next to this little house we lived in was a gravestone maker.
Yeah.
And we liked to ride our bikes around the all the little gravestones he had around it, because it was like it was asphalt.
Okay.
And so it was smooth, and it was like a hill thing.
Uh-huh.
And right behind it was a graveyard.
Then
right in front of us was a hospital. We were like surrounded, and then only old, it was like a senior citizen.
Right.
But anyways, we put the birds in the box, and I was like, Quinai, we can make some money and sell these birds. And you were like, at first, because Quinai is like... this loving Virgo Earth Mother. Like, no, she wanted to keep them. There's no way we could have kept those birds. First of all, they're like those regular birds you see out there. There's no way that's a pet. And our mother would never let us have a pet, like, ever. So we took it up to the little gravestone maker place, because that's where everyone... like, a lot of people will come up there to pick out graves. This is so grim. But we tried selling the birds.
Oh, wow.
There. And people felt so bad for us. And so they just gave us the money so we can go to that. I know you don't remember this, but there was a convenience store just down the street.
Oh.
And we would go over
there. We had to cross the street to get to it? Do we have to cross the street to get to it?
Yeah, but it was our street, and then across the street was...
I can envision it, but I remember crossing the street was scary for me.
Yeah, but I would make Quinai do little things like that with me.
You were fun. You were
like
fun.
Stuff like that.
Yeah, you were fun. Sometimes I'd be like, man, I wish I was an older sister, but... I think I was perfectly fine being the younger sister.
That was around the time I taught you how to ride your bike.
Girl.
How to tie your shoes.
You taught me how to ride my bike?
Yeah, and tie your shoes.
Oh, I do remember. I didn't know. Yeah, I do remember tying my shoes, but I know you taught. I guess you spent the most time with me, but I didn't know about the bicycle. Damn, that's crazy.
You don't remember that?
I do remember learning to ride my bike in Vincennes when I was like 5 or 6 years old, but I didn't know it was you. I just remember somebody having a hand on the seat and pushing me and saying, and basically they taught me how to ride a bike, but they didn't teach me how to brake. So.
No, I remember, like, you know how the person who was pushing the bike for the kid,
mm-hmm.
I would push it and then like trip over the stuff and like fall and get scratches, but you were going.
Yeah.
You were going. I'm like, yeah.
I was determined. I was determined. Shoot, after I stopped riding my big wheel, I was
in
the bicycle zone. It was on.
I love that big wheel.
It
was the Power Rangers one.
Yes, green and black. Literally, still my favorite childhood memory. Yeah, so. But yeah, Mace, do you have anything else to add? No.
Yeah, I do. This was nice. I got some great insight on you. Things I didn't remember.
Yeah.
But now I do. Like, that you were a klepto.
Yeah.
And thanks for inviting me.
Yeah.
On here. This was really cool. I love that you have a podcast. It's a cool outlet.
Thank you.
For you to speak your truth and then help other people.
Thank you.
Just give it back to the world. Congratulations.
Thank you. I really do appreciate that. I really appreciate you being on here, opening up to me, opening up to the followers as well. If people ever met us in real life at the same time, we are a dynamic, we have different dads, but you would never know because we just like.
Really?
Yeah, we have different dads. Same mom, different dad.
I didn't think you told people that. I don't ever tell anybody that.
I think my brain is like, this biological, genetic GMO. Like, I don't know what it is. I'm super curious still to this day. Like, who the fuck is this dude that is our dad? Our dad, who these guys are our dad. But, I don't know. It's just like, well, that one of those pieces that my mind is still bings. Like, it's binging still a little bit.
Oh, I know.
Damn it. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I know. I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. But at least we're not in the Our Father situation where that dude on Netflix, the documentary about called Our Father, when he's impregnated all these women with his sperm, even though they thought they were having random sperm, and so on and so forth. Now they got, like, and I got like a whole bunch of people that are sisters and brothers, and they're like, what the fuck?
Is that bringing up triggers for you?
It just reminds me of how DNA was kind of, well, not DNA was discovered. Testing DNA was discovered around the same time he was doing all this. And so that's why he was able to get away with it for so long, like at least 30 years or whatever. And so I have all those siblings out there, so. Yeah, any hoosies, say all that to say, yes, thank you so much for being on here. Hope you had fun. Your birthday is in a couple days. Happy birthday. I hope to see you. I know you're...
Cash App me.
Cash App.
PayPal me.
PayPal, my nigga. Like, what? Cash Apper. You're so silly. 35th birthday, big time. I'm so happy for you. So proud of you. All you've done. Raising my children.
You're welcome. Because
I'm a deadbeat auntie. Like, ugh, annoying. But yeah, no lightning round because my life is not together. So
lazy, and you did not come up with the questions.
Heavy on the lazy. You're correct.
No, she's not lazy.
Oh yeah, I've been super busy. I do apologize. So, but yeah, I'm hoping this is not the last time to have you on the show. Maybe have you, mommy, on the same time. So we'll see. But I absolutely love you to death, and thank you again. Alrighty.
No problem.
You're welcome.
Talk to you later.
Talk to you then.
Bye.
All right, listeners, that's been a great show. I really do appreciate y'all for listening. I hope you had a good time meeting my sis and meeting our dynamic as our sister. I call my sis my sister Roni. Definitely give me feedback, anything you want to talk about in the next episode. Hit me up, you know, on my socials at Super Duper Q on Instagram and Super Duper QQ on Twitter. So hit your girl up. Thank you so much for listening. I hope you enjoyed yourselves. Until next time, peace.